Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the privilege you have given us, O God, to receive of the realities of your name. Realities expressed in who you are. Realities expressed in all that you are. Realities that will unveil in us, O God, as you choose to become all that you will become, O Lord, in our lives. So, Father, we are each chosen instruments, Father. Instruments chosen to receive and realize the realities of your name, Father. Your name is meant to be unveiled in our hearts, Lord. And in the reality of your name being unveiled, Father, we will come alive to the fact of loving you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And this reality, O God, will be the fulfillment of your law, Father. It will be your workmanship achieved in each one of us in Jesus' name. So open us, Father, to an intimacy, O God, in the true knowledge of your Son. Let every hindrance of the flesh, O God, be broken, Father. Let every hindrance of the wrong spirit, O God, be broken, Father. And let, O God, an intimacy, O God, in your love be released into us through the blood of Jesus, Father. We pray that through the blood of the Lamb, we will receive and realize the witness that will enable us, O God, to be intimate, O God, in the true knowledge of you, Father. Because it is in the blood, Father, that you express your love for us. It is in the blood, O God, that you express that perfect faith that will enable us to see and understand all that you have for us. It is through the blood that you provide for us, Father, in a covenant, O God, that is to be written in our hearts, that is even now being written in our hearts, a covenant that will truly be fashioned as an oath in the wonder of who you are and all that you are. A covenant, O God, fashioned into our hearts as a covenant, O God, brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Our hearts written upon by the finger of God. Our hearts fashioned and formed in the flesh of the Lamb. Our hearts circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Our hearts, O God, brought into an intimacy with you, Father. A true knowledge of you given to us in your Son. Brought alive in us by the Holy Spirit. So that we will do all things, O God, in the name of Jesus. And doing all things in the name of Jesus is doing all things, O God, in the reality of your name, Father. For you have manifested your name to us in Christ Jesus. You have manifested your name to us in the name Jesus, Father. And we pray that everything that is within us, O God, will celebrate the glory of your grace being unveiled in us. Bless us today, O God, with your name, Yahweh Yireh, Father. And we pray, O God, that everything that is within us will come alive to the understanding that you are the provider, Father. That you are the provider, Father. And everything that comes from you, Father, it stands in our lives forever, Father. It is built, O God, in a reality in which we live, move, and have our being. It is not a transitory gift, Father. It is an abiding gift, Father. It's a gift that grows and is built into us, Father. That your provision in our life unveils us in the stature, O God, of sons of the living God. A royal priesthood, Father. Of kings, priests, and prophets, Father. Who will stand in the heavenly places and proclaim, O God, your glory. It is our privilege, O God, to be filled to all the fullness of our God. It is our privilege, O God, to be enabled to do all things in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Father. It is our privilege, O God, to be set free from the law of sin and death, Father. To walk, O Lord, in the perfection of our God. Because you will do the impossible with us. You will provide us, O God, all that we need. Teach us to ask, teach us to seek, and teach us to knock at the door of your heart, Father. So that we will receive and realize the abundance that you have for us, Father. All that your word points to, Father. All that has to be explained to us, O God, in the spirit and life of Jesus, Father. All that has to be brought alive in us, Father, by the Holy Spirit. So bless us, O God, enabling us to know and understand what you are doing with us in this module 8, Lord. That you are giving us a perspective of who you are and all that you are. So that we will always choose to walk before you. And so be holy and blameless before you, Father. So we bless you for what you are doing. We bless you, O God, for the calling that you have on our lives. And we pray that that calling will be manifested in the surpassing greatness of your power, Lord Jesus, towards us who believe in you, Lord. Enable us to rise and walk In your precious name, we pray this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of unveiling the name of God, Module 8. And this is, I think, tape 10. We have done two covenant names of God. Yahweh Elyon, the Most High God. And we've also done the name El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. And we are beginning to see that the reality of God opens as we choose to walk into what He is giving us. See, the reality of God is not intellectual. To arise to know the Most High God, you must rise into the Mount of the Lord. And you rise into the Mount of the Lord through your heart. So you remember Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Correct? That's what David wrote. All right? So it is your heart that God is concerned with, and it is in your heart that God is going to open the reality of His name. And the Most High God points to the fact that God has opened your heart to a reality that will never end. It will keep on ascending. So the reality of God is an ascent into the Mount of the Lord. God is presenting His name as a high mountain. Only thing is, in this mountain is limitless. It is Most High. It is in the reality of the Most High God. And you and I are called to ascend into this mount and to occupy the secret place of the Most High God that He has ordained for us. To be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, verse 1. Amen. That's the position. And this is a position that will grow. And this position that grows is called a Passover. Right? It is unveiled in a Passover. Amen? And this Passover is manifested to us in the name of Jesus. So this ascent into the Mount of the Lord to receive and realize the realities of our God is given to us in the merits of the Lamb. It is given to us grace upon grace. It is given to us in all that Jesus has done for us. It is given to us in all that Jesus has accomplished for us. So we came to the name El Shaddai, and then we discovered that the name El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God, is a reality of God that is made to be made manifest as a covenant name in the tablets of your heart. And God will circumcise your heart so that you will have the confidence in God that will enable you to leave your fleshly weaknesses. God has to do a work in your heart, circumcising your heart, and He will truly enable you to become what He wants you to become. So the second reality of what God wants you to become in the Almighty God is that you will become His tabernacle, His dwelling place. And we have taught that what God seeks to do is to put His name in your heart, to open His heart to your heart, and to open His eyes to the tabernacle of your being, that you will see things in Him and by Him and through Him. The third reality of El Shaddai is that He will make you a son. That it is only as a son unto God that you can be blessed. And sonship is based on the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 to 29 tells us that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called sons of God. We become sons of God. There is no male or female. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no rich man or poor man. We all are opened to what God has given us in the name of Jesus. What I would like to say here right now is very important. You must understand, for you to discover the Almighty God, you have to allow God to circumcise your heart. You have got to understand that you are the dwelling place of God. And you need to understand that you are called to be a son unto God. If you don't move into these realities, you will never discover who the Almighty God is. You cannot intellectually figure out the Almighty God. The reality of the Almighty God will grow in you as you choose to walk into the position God has given you in His name. So if you don't accept sonship, and if you do not walk into the sonship that God has for you, you will never discover what it means that He is Almighty. You will just talk about it in theological terms or in intellectual terms. Amen. So you must understand that the reality of God is a heart reality. That's why God says, you will love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As the name of God opens to you, you will come to fall in love with God. You will come to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As you see Him as the Most High God, as you see Him as the Almighty God, as you begin to understand how much He has accomplished in your life, what He has given you, all that is from Him is priceless. And as you realize the pricelessness of His love, that's when our hard hearts will accept Him and receive Him and understand Him. We will come to love Him. You see, it is the love of God that enables us to love Him. It is as we come alive to God that we realize what love means. It is as we come alive to God that we realize what righteousness means. It is as we come alive to God that we realize what goodness means. You see, as God comes alive to you and me, He changes us. He transforms us. That's why David wrote in Psalm 54 verse 1, "Save me, O God, by Thy name, and vindicate me by Thy power." Save me, O God, by who You are and by all that You are, and vindicate me or justify me by Your power. If you and I are going to be what the Bible wants us to be, it is only going to happen in and by and through the name of God being revealed in our hearts. When God's name is unveiled in us, when the reality of God opens in our hearts, then you will want to pray. When the reality of God opens in your heart and you realize how great He is, then you will want to worship Him. And it will come naturally as you come alive to God. So you must understand that your Christian faith is not a religious practice. It is not a practice of the law. It is a realization of the grace of God, the love of God. If you want to become a new person, if you want to become all that God wants you to become, you have to allow Him to work inside of you. It is not your workmanship. It has to be His workmanship. So remember Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, that you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. Created. That's why everything is possible. Don't close your heart to God. Don't close your heart to God. It's very foolish. If you close your heart to God, you will die, because life comes only from God. If you want joy in your life, you want peace in your life, you have to look to God, because joy and peace only come from His heart. You can't find it anywhere else. So getting angry with God and thinking that God has left you high and dry is a false reality. And if you close your heart to God, you sign your own death warrant. And you must understand this, that when we preach the gospel and we minister the gospel, we must make people alive to God, because if we don't make them alive to God, we have given them nothing. Jesus came to manifest the name of God. John chapter 17 verse 6, "I manifested Thy name to the men whom Thou gavest Me out of the world." Manifest, make it alive, make it real. So if the name of God is not alive to us, then we do not know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. Today we want to know the name, we want to look at the name Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Yireh. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. You know the story. Abraham is asked to make a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is Isaac, his son. From verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, Yahweh Yireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. If you have a New American Standard, it reads, In the mount of the Lord it will be seen. In the mount of the Lord it will be seen. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord it will be seen. And everything that is seen in the mount of the Lord, everything that is provided in the mount of the Lord, is a reality of Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh. All right? Yahweh Yireh. So you see that what God announced under his name, the Most High God, God announced under his name El Shaddai, he brings into being through provision. You will ascend into the mount of the Lord, he announced that, in the reality of the Most High God. Right? An ascent into the mount of the Lord. Now in Jehovah Jireh, he says it will be provided in the mount of the Lord. So this entire ascent into the mount of the Lord is part and parcel of God's provision. If God doesn't provide for you, you will not enter into the mount of the Lord. To enter into the mount of the Lord, you need a pure heart. And the purer your heart is, the holier your heart is, you ascend higher and higher into the mount of the Lord. Now this is how you attain spiritual position before God. It requires a pure heart. It requires a pure heart. And that pure heart God has to provide for you. Amen. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So everything in your ministry has to unveil from this pure heart. This pure heart God has to create. This pure heart God has to provide you with. And this provision comes to you as you respond to God. All right? As you respond to God. We're going to do some things that we have done before, but it's necessary for us in order to understand what it means to enter into the mount of the Lord. Okay? So let's look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now we just read about Yahweh Yireh being a reality of God manifested in the mount of the Lord. Now the Hebrew word for mount and the Hebrew word for hill are the same Hebrew word. Alright? So it says here, Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may ascend into the mount of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? There is a place for you. And it's a place that will keep on growing as the reality of your God grows inside of you. All right? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The purpose of this ascent into the mount of the Lord is so that you can be blessed. And the reason why you need to be blessed is so that you can become a blessing. So last week we talked about Joseph and how he represented prophetically sonship, fruitfulness in sonship. He was a fruitful son. And he was nurtured by the Almighty God. And he was blessed. The position of sonship is open to us so that we can be blessed in order to become a blessing. Now God says that if you ascend into the mount of the Lord from a clean heart, and if you have clean hands, you will be blessed. All right? The question, of course, is how do we get into the mount of the Lord? How do we have a clean heart? That's what is the question. How does God give us access into the mount of the Lord? It's all done at the speed of thought. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. God is opening here a revelation that is very crucial to you. This whole reality of Yahweh Yireh, this whole reality of being unveiled in the mount of the Lord is opened in the context of a sacrifice. A ram was sacrificed. And the ram that was sacrificed was prophetically pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. First thing you need to understand, God gave you Jesus Christ so that you can be blessed. So that you can be blessed in the name of Jesus, so that you can be blessed in the fullness of Jesus. And every blessing that God gives you comes to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because He chose to express His faith and His love for you, because He chose to forgive you. In the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God demonstrated a perfect faith and a perfect love. He demonstrated a perfect character, a perfect nature. He demonstrated the reality of a man who loved God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength, and who loved his brother as himself. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, and He is the means by which the fulfillment of the prophets will be made manifest. In the prophets are every blessing that God has for us. So in the reality that Jesus Christ has been given as a sacrifice to you, in the reality of you receiving that reality of Jesus' sacrifice and thereby setting your hope on Him, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 tells you that hope anchors your soul behind the veil at the speed of thought. You don't have to stand on your head. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights. You just have to have your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. And based on the reality of the hope that you have on the Lord Jesus Christ, you tap into everything that God has accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has entered the veil before us as a high priest for us. High priest of our confession, isn't it? Remember that? Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. That Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Right? So one of the first attributes of confession, the basic attribute of any confession of Jesus, is based on hope. If you don't have hope, nothing else can work for you. Because faith is the substance of hope. If you don't have hope, there cannot be faith. So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith will be of Jesus Christ, and lo and behold, you have everything is possible in your life. So as you set your hope on Jesus Christ, and as you receive the substance that is of Him, God is providing for you in Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? Praise the Lord. So as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is anchored behind the veil. Praise the Lord. That veil is opened because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you are given access behind that veil simply because you have chosen to set your hope on Him. All right, now comes to the next revelation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, fixed on Jesus Christ, purifies himself just as He is pure. Purifies himself just as He is pure. That's not difficult, is it? What is it telling you? Listen very carefully. It says if you set your hope on Jesus, you will be purified even as He is pure. Why? Simply because faith is the substance of hope. If you set your hope on Jesus, the substance of your faith will be of Jesus, and the substance that is of Jesus is pure and perfect. So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be purified. So when you are purified, you will have a clean heart. If you are purified, you will have clean hands. Not difficult at all. Can you understand God's grace? Now, if you try to practice the law and try to make yourself clean, and people have been doing this for centuries, or attempting to do it for centuries, you go around in circles. Because all you will find is that your righteousness is filthy rags. But if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have entered into the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God will achieve everything you can't do. Praise the Lord. So now you understand grace, and you understand that the grace of God opens to you through hope. That as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, God opens to you a position behind the veil. Your soul is anchored behind the veil, and now all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. How does Christ strengthen you? He strengthens you with His substance. Can you catch that? But His substance will only come if you set your hope on Him. If you set your hope on a principle, this will not work. That's why Jesus said, "I am the truth." Right? Let's look at another passage. John. Let me just get there. The Gospel of John. Chapter 5. This is why Jesus told the Jews this. John chapter 5 verse 39. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. But you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life." Are you with me? The Jews studied the scriptures. They memorized the scriptures. But they refused to come to Him who was the fulfillment of the scriptures. So what is God saying? That the true understanding of the scriptures opens to us only as we come to Jesus. Jesus is the word that is manifested in truth. Jesus is the explanation of the entire word of God. In Jesus Christ, the law is fulfilled. In Jesus Christ, the prophets are fulfilled. In Jesus Christ, the Bible opens to you as a reality of fulfillment. Grace upon grace. And grace upon grace is not a cop-out. Grace upon grace is based on the fullness of Jesus Christ. John 1, 16. "Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." Are you with me? So that is the reality of Yahweh Yireh. That Yahweh Yireh has given to you the fullness of Jesus Christ, grace upon grace. And He's given it to you through a sacrifice. He didn't give it to you based on merit. He gave it to you by grace. And the reason it is by grace, it is because it has been opened to you in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this grace that God has given you is based on the faith and love of Jesus for your life. The question is, do you want it? The question is, do you want it? And do you want it is based on you setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not simply saying yes. You have to live that hope every moment of every day. That no matter what happens to you outside of you, your hope is based on Him. That Lord, whatever it is, you're going to bring me through this darkness. I will overcome because your faith and your love will triumph in my life. I will receive your faith. I will receive your love because your sacrifice of faith and love was entirely for me. And my faith and my love, when it receives your faith and your love, my faith and my love will be transformed. It will be transfigured. I will be a brand new person. I will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all this is the provision of Yahweh Yireh. Can you catch that? When God announces His name as Yahweh Yireh, He's telling you an absolute truth that He is the provider. If you're going to have anything in your life that is going to last, you have to receive it from God. You can go out and work as hard as you want. You can swing deals as many as you want. But if God is not in it, one day it will have no meaning to you. All its benefits will just pass away. Only provision in God is abiding. When God manifests Himself as your provider, He's also teaching you how to receive those provisions and how to live in those provisions. He's also teaching you how to receive greater and greater expressions of His provision. It's a learning process. It is learning how to receive from God who is the provider. And if we as children of God don't know how to receive from God, we have nothing. Because ultimately only that which is received from God remains. The rest of it passes over. It passes out into nothingness. Look at the things you did 20 years ago. They are no longer relevant to you. Look at the accolades you received 20 years ago. They are irrelevant today. Look at all of those achievements 20 years ago. They no longer exist. See, that's the tragedy of human life on earth. That's the tragedy of human life without God. If there's one thing we have learned on planet earth, it is this. That we need God. We need the provision of God. We need the provision of God that will not pass away. We need the abiding. We need life. And we need to live. Because without God, the reality is just decay, sickness, sin, disease. Death. So as you look at the name Yahweh Yireh, you must always understand that Yahweh Yireh is a name that unveils in the reality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Everything for your life and my life comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything. Anything not manifested from the cross of Jesus Christ will never last. Even if God gives you a gift, if you don't develop the gift out of the reality of the witness and testimony of Jesus, you will ruin the gift same way as Lucifer ruined the gift. I will repeat that. You will ruin the gift the same way that Lucifer ruined the gift. The book of Ezekiel says that Lucifer was given every perfect gift. Let's turn to that very shortly. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 12. The middle of verse 12. It's talking about the king of Tyre. And the king of Tyre is Satan himself. Thus says the Lord, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Lucifer was created sinless. He was blessed in perfection. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamonds. God is describing the treasures that he provided Lucifer with. At the end of that verse, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. God created him and prepared something for him. And God's intent with Lucifer was to bless him and to bless him and to bless him and to bless him. Lucifer never appreciated that. And because he never appreciated that, because he did not cultivate the love of God in his heart, he lost everything. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. Anointed means having the anointing. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in all your ways. From the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Are you with me? Unrighteousness was found in you. You have been opened to the witness of the cross. And the witness of the cross is an expression of the righteousness of God. Now the reason why you and I can stand and receive and realize everything God has for us and not fall is because we have the potentials of the righteousness of God manifested inside of us. And the righteousness of God is expressed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So whatever you receive, it is based on the faith and love of Jesus. It is based on the character and nature of Jesus. It is based on the testimony and witness of Jesus. It is not because you paid a price for it. It is based on the righteousness of God. It is based on what God achieved through the life of Jesus. And what God achieved through the life of Jesus, the man, he is now giving to you as Yahweh Yireh. And he says, whatever I open to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever I give you in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it is going to grow and grow and grow inside of you so as to unveil you in the mount of the Lord. And you will keep on growing forever. Not on your merits, but on the merits of my Son, says the Lord. So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. All things. It will take time, but it will surely come to pass. And what comes to pass will be the workmanship of God. It will be His provision. Praise the Lord. So Yahweh Yireh, God the provider in absolute terms. And God the provider in absolute terms unveils to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God makes His provision available to you by sacrifice. So that you will understand that what is given to you, you and I have never deserved it and will never deserve it. What we receive is given to us in the merits of the Lamb of God. So we have nothing to boast about except to boast in our God. To boast that He has provided. To boast that He has anointed. To boast that He has strengthened. To boast that He has taught. He has healed. He has enabled. He has empowered. He has energized. Listening? Praise the Lord. Do you realize that in order to receive and realize this, you need to receive the witness and testimony of Jesus. Because Jesus thought very differently from you and me. Let's turn to John chapter 5. Jesus knew and understood that His Father was His provider. And that's why He said these words. John chapter 5 verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Listening? Very different thinking from you and me. Jesus actually thought that he could do nothing of himself. Although he raised the dead, although he healed the sick, although he walked on water, although he stopped the storms, in his heart, he knew that everything came from God. That God was his provider. Look at verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I do nothing on my own initiative. What is he saying? Even the initiative is propagated by God. Listening? So in those two verses, the Lord Jesus Christ opens to us a perspective of God the provider that we in the church have as yet not understood. If you're wondering why God is taking so long to bring the church into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ so that it will manifest the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because we have not yet realized the reality of the thinking processes that have to come to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought very differently. None of us sitting here actually believes that we can do nothing of ourselves. There's so many things I can do, so many things you can do. And if we put it all together, how many things we can do together? And here he is, the Son of God, unveiling himself as the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he declares something. I can do nothing of my own initiative. I can do nothing unless the Father shows it to me. Or the Father brings it alive to me. Interesting? Fascinating. That's why God has to provide. And God has to provide means that God has to teach you how to think, how to act, how to live, how to do anything and everything. That's the learning process God is putting us through. Do you realize that God often moves in our lives when he has brought us to positions of absolute helplessness? Why does he do that? To tell us that if God was not protecting us, the entire world will end up in a helpless state. And only the provision of God can help us. But so often in the church we find that once we get the gift, once we get the anointing, we run off and do whatever we want to do. Thinking that the gift is there and the anointing is there for us to do whatever we please. God allows that because we have to learn things in our own free will. It's a pity that God has to teach us the hard way. But we need to understand that God does everything in our lives through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God moves in our lives through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why he uses the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is very simple. Because in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has produced the perfect man. The perfect instrument. The instrument that would work with perfect faith and love. A perfect character and a nature. That's why no angel could do the job. There are many angels who would have gone through the cross for us. The only problem is they would not have been able to produce that witness in perfection. But Jesus produced a witness in perfection. And God provided for us in that witness. When that witness manifests in us, we become a new creation. When that witness is received and accepted in us, we put on a new nature. We come alive to a new thinking. We come alive to the faith of Jesus. We come alive to the character of Jesus. We come alive to the thinking of Jesus. We come alive to the witness and testimony of Jesus. Can you understand that? You see, what God is telling us is that in Jesus Christ is the framework for everything that God can give us. If we don't receive of Jesus, there is no framework in which God can bring out the great giftings that He has, because it will destroy us. Because our character cannot handle the power of God. We have already seen that in the charismatic move, when we saw so many of our pastors take a fall. When you don't have the character and nature of Jesus, you can't handle the power of God. So it is absolutely necessary for us to understand that the character and nature of Jesus is what enables us to walk in the anointings of God. It is the character and nature of Jesus Christ that will enable us to operate in the giftings the right way. Otherwise, everything that God gives, good and perfect though it may be, will be corrupted by our nature and character. So that's why all things are given to us in the name of Jesus. So Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. It will be done for you. But the name of Jesus comes alive to us together with His witness and His testimony. And His witness and His testimony carries His character and His nature. It carries His faith and His love. When the witness of the testimony of Jesus is manifested in us, we have the framework to do what is right. As we receive of the character and nature of Jesus, we will be transformed and changed. So how do we receive the character and nature of Jesus? By setting our hope on Him. By realizing and understanding this word of God through His witness and His testimony. Are you listening? Because God provides for us in the name of Jesus. He cannot provide for us in any other name. See, the Jews who nailed Jesus to the cross knew the scriptures by heart. I will repeat that. The Jews who nailed Jesus Christ to the cross knew the scriptures by heart. They knew the scriptures by heart, but they did not know the God of the scriptures. They did not understand His heart. They did not understand His plans. And so when Jesus Christ did not fit their thought processes, they decided to get rid of Him. Because they were looking for freedom and liberty from the Roman Empire. And Jesus came to bring freedom and liberty from Satan. Jesus came to open us to the freedom and liberty that comes by the Holy Spirit. And the flesh of man could not appreciate that. Even today, we want to have the gospel of Jesus Christ bring forth blessings that we want. How many of us have prayed for the blessings that God wants to bring forth in our lives? We want God to bless us in our thought processes, in our ways, in our desires. But God wants to bless you with His thought processes. He wants to bless you in His desires. He wants to bless you in His will. And He wants to bless you with His brilliance. In order to do that, He has given everything that is supposed to be manifested in you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God must be revealed through Jesus Christ. He must explain the Scripture to us. And that is a spiritual revelation. It is a spiritual revelation. That means that the Scripture has to be explained into your heart in the spirit and life of Jesus. It has to be established in your heart and my heart in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be brought to fulfillment in our lives through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it must bring us forth as a people who are holy unto God. That we have in us a desire to be actually holy unto God. And that will be the workmanship of God within us. And it has to be manifested in our own free will. And this reality will come forth as God provides for us in the spirit and life of Jesus. As God provides for us in the faith and love of Jesus. As God provides for us in the character and nature of Jesus. As God provides for us in the mind of Christ. As God provides for us in the witness and testimony of Jesus. As God provides for us in His wisdom, in His knowledge, in His understanding, in His counsel. As God provides for us in His strength. As God provides for us in the truth. Are you listening, brethren? So everything that God provides in His name, Yahweh Yireh, opens to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So John 1:16 is a very important verse for you to remember and never, never forget. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. What happened when the law was given through Moses? We were all condemned under sin, isn't it? Because the law said very clearly and categorically that we are all sinful people. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That word realized comes out in the New American Standard. Grace and truth were realized. That means God in His will has already ordained that in Jesus Christ, grace and truth will be realized within us. Grace to enable us to do what we cannot do. Truth to set us free. Truth to set us free from every kind of sin, every kind of bondage. And all this will be God's provision. Isn't that wonderful? Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. We repeat this every Christmas. But do we understand what it means? Unto us, a child is born. So the seed of Christ was manifested in you when the day you were born again. Unto us, a son is given. But that seed must unveil in the Son. It must manifest to you the fullness of the Son. You have to receive Him. You have to realize His fullness. Do you understand? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on His shoulders. His shoulders. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Do you realize that God puts Counselor before after Wonderful? Counselor means that you receive the counsels of God through Him. But if you don't understand the wonder of what He has done, you cannot be taught. It is as the wonder of Him is opened inside of you that you start learning how things in God. And once Jesus unveils to you as Wonderful Counselor, then you will begin to come alive to the mighty God, the Eternal Father. And then you will come alive to the fact that He is the Prince of Peace, the Beloved of your heart. And all this is God's provision. Praise the Lord. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He takes that which is of Jesus and He gives it to us. Let's turn to John 16. Verse 13. John 16 verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the truth. Praise the Lord. Now He says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. But He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. What does the Holy Spirit hear when He is inside of you? He hears the reality of your hope. What have you set your hope on? According to the hope that He sees within you. Expressed in your own free will, according to that He will disclose to you. Are you listening? Verse 14. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Lord Jesus says, He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit takes of that which is of Jesus and he discloses it to you. So if you have a gift, what does that gift represent? The way in which Jesus ministered. Hello. Every gift that we operate in the church today has been demonstrated in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You call it word of knowledge, you call it word of wisdom, you call it discerning of spirits, you call it gifts of healing, you call it gift of faith, you call it gift of miracles, you call it gift of tongues. What does gift of tongues represent? The ability to receive revelation knowledge. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 6, Paul writes that out of revelation knowledge comes, out of tongues comes revelation, knowledge, teaching and prophecy. Alright? Now all those things are open to us in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if you want to see revelation knowledge being manifested in anybody, look at the life of Jesus. At the age of 12, he could already expound the scriptures to the finest brains in Israel. And who was he expounding the word of God to? People who were scholars. He asked them questions, and when they were unable to answer the questions, he gave them the answers, and he was 12 years old. So revelation knowledge. So two tongues, God gives us revelation knowledge. Through prophecy, Jesus prophesied. Words that exhorted people. Words that edified people. Words that brought healing into people's hearts. Now he also prophesied of things of the future. But you see, every gift of the Holy Spirit is an expression of the ministry of Jesus. It's an expression of something that Jesus did in his life. Can you see that? What about the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The fruits of the Holy Spirit are an expression of the nature of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will disclose, will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you. Make sense? Look at verse 15. Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he, the Holy Spirit, takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Praise the Lord. So you see, in Jesus Christ, all that the Father has is open to you. So you need to understand that Yahweh Yireh opens to you in Jesus Christ. If you don't receive of the fullness of Jesus Christ, God's eternal provision, that which the Father has ordained to manifest from his own heart, will stop. So today we have opened the name of God in a new way. So you have heard John 17 verse 6, Father, I manifested thy name. So today we are hearing that Yahweh Yireh is a name that is manifested to us through the life and testimony of Jesus Christ. Everything that comes to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ opens to us the provision of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So next week we will look at some specific things that the Word of God tells us that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have chosen to be our provider. That in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you have manifested to us every provision that you can possibly give us, Father. And it comes to us, O God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Enable us to receive and to understand the sacrifice of Jesus, because it is through the sacrifice of Jesus that you will bless us and you will enable us to receive and realize every good and perfect gift that comes from you, Father. So we give you glory and honor for being the Almighty, All-Sufficient God, our provider. We thank you that you provide us provisions in the reality of being the Most High God, that all of this provision unfolds to us in the Mount of the Lord. But all that is opened in the Mount of the Lord is open to us as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus. And when we set our hope on the Lord Jesus, we are made pure as He is pure. And this is a process that enables us to become all that you want us to become. So this is the heart of your provision, Father, to give us the character and nature so that we will be in a position to receive from you. So that we will be in a position to be able to handle, O God, your anointings and your blessings. So move us, O God, into the realization of what you have given us on the cross. Enable us to understand that the cross is more real to us today than it was 2,000 years ago to the apostles, Father. Because there's so much of revelation knowledge that we have received, O God, with the Bible in our hands, Father. There's so much more that we understand the scriptures today, Father, as. But enable us to understand, Lord, that those scriptures have to be explained to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. The scriptures have to be established in us in the faith of Jesus. That the scriptures have to be brought alive to us in fulfilled terms, Father, through the love of Jesus. And the scriptures, when unveiled in us, must unveil us as a holy people unto you. So write your word into our hearts and provide for us, Father. Write your word into our hearts in the name of Jesus, and by the testimony of Jesus, explain your word to us so that we will live forever and be blessed forever and be a growing blessing forever, so that everything that comes out of our life will bless others, O God. So teach us to do the ministry and learn how to bless, because the purpose of being blessed is to become a blessing, Lord. So enable us to value the callings that you have upon our lives. Enable us to value the giftings that you have given us. Enable us to value the anointings that you have given us. And enable us, O God, to become a blessing and not a curse, Father. So we thank you for the gift of your Son. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will truly unveil the depths of Jesus within us and through us, amongst us as the church across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. We pray this, we celebrate this awesome reality in Jesus' name. Amen.